Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tony.
Join us as we discuss why I cannot jerry-rig things in real life and how I'm not so great at doing it in virtual reality either.
There's a story behind this.
But first, Baldur's Gate 3.
Baldur's Gate 3.
And the dreaded darkness area continues.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we fixed it, and then we went outside and we're still doing it.
That we fixed it, yeah.
I'm so annoyed at it. Anyway, we were in the we were in Shah's gauntlet.
The gauntlet of Shah, which didn't have the shadow curse issue.
No, it was just
inside.
That
obviously.
Was good. That was good. That would have been the pits.
Yeah. I mean, very you couldn't have done it. Yeah.
But it had a series of trials, which were fun to do, yes. Like to work out like what it was and to work out how we could cheese it or
yes,
not cheese
which
it.
We managed to cheese several
through.
Of them.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
actually cheesed the whole thing when we casting knock on the final door.
Yeah.
So we could have skipped the whole thing.
We only needed, we needed two stones to get the lift to work.
Yeah.
Once you're downstairs, yeah,
you could just cast knock on the door
and just gone straight in, which is what we did. But we did the things anyway because we got some good gear, I think, out of the rooms.
Yes,
I think. Well, I mean, I got more gear.
Yeah,
I think we may have missed a helmet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a helmet on the ground. And I don't remember picking it up.
Okay,
it's possible Josh and his kleptomania did pick it up.
Yeah,
but yeah, I did get my
sky blue and gold. Die for my clothes.
Though. Oh, you did. Yes. You know, you and Josh are matching.
Yes.
The thief is now wearing a bright yellow tunic, which is great for like blending into shadows.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
But that was good. Then we had a fight with Balthazar and his creepy face scars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great
excellent
voice.
Excellent voice.
Excellent voice.
Like creepy face scars.
Oh, like a
weeping
pentagram.
And still weeping.
Yeah, like a pentagram he carved into his own face.
Yeah.
Very strange.
And Dino rolled 3 natural 20s in a row.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
That was great. And then you rolled like a 3, I want to say.
No, I needed a 3.
You needed a 3 and you rolled 2. Yeah.
So a 1 would automatically fail. So a 2 was the only roll that I could roll that wouldn't pass
normally.
And I rolled a 2.
Then I stole all your luck for those 3 naturals.
But then I used an inspiration point and rolled like an 18.
So yeah, crushed it.
Destroyed it the second roll.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we found Balthazar, went to the bottom, found out why the General Torm is
immortal.
Mortal.
Yeah.
And I guess not anymore because he broke the spell.
I
guess.
Well, it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
Which is
really
one of the things I was going to mention is... Yeah. The lack of the journal to clarify what's actually going on and just that messy quest log with play sessions separated by as much play space as we've had.
Yeah.
I was really confused as to what actually is going on. I clearly remember that the Mind Flayer Elder Brain is inside the
castle.
I remember that clearly.
Yep.
But I don't remember General Thorm. I do remember that we're kind of pretending to be bad guys.
Yep.
And we have had the option several times to side with the good guys instead of continuing to be the bad guys.
Yep.
But I don't really remember what that's all about.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit, and I do remember that we're trying to find the artifact for some reason.
Yep.
But I didn't ever get I don't know. And I didn't get that that's what we're doing when we're solving the puzzles for Balthazar, that we're getting him closer to the artifact. I thought we were just doing the Temple of Shah because it was a Temple of Shah.
Yeah. We just opened it all up, but he was...
He was
inside the temple. He'd already captured the Night's Song.
Yeah.
In the bottom of
years ago. Yeah.
But now the whole thing's locked up and he couldn't get back through again?
I'm confused. So, the Thorm wanted to check to make sure Night's Song was still imprisoned or something.
But he'd have to know because he's regenerating. Because in that scene when we first rocked up,
he gets stabbed. Yeah.
And he's like, then, shakes it off, no problem. Then you got to kill the 3...
Goblins, you know. I'm finding this section is a little bit disjointed.
And how the Absolute and General Thorm interact
with
I believe
each other.
That General Thorm's under the control of the Absolute, being that the Elder Brain that they try to control but has backfired.
Yeah.
But there's I don't really know if that's.
Yeah, there's no actual story evidence of that. And the Harpers just disappeared completely.
Yeah.
The Harpers did that attack on us. Where we had our first shot to side with the Harpers or side with the. Drider, and we chose to side with the Drider.
I'm a little bit curious about how that might shake out. Might have shaken out differently, but yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. But again, they have not considered the multiplayer game.
No, not at all.
Shadowheart absolutely spat the dummy at us.
Oh my God.
When we went back to camp.
So mad.
Couldn't have been ruder to us if she tried.
No.
And so, fine, piss off then. See if we care. So our only remaining companion has now left. We have no companions left.
Yeah, it was very disappointing because obviously you're supposed to take her through the gauntlet.
Well, I looked online.
Oh,
and if you're playing a multiplayer game, there is absolutely no way to stop that happening.
Right, okay.
She has to be in your party when you find Nightsong for that scene not to play. So if you're playing multiplayer, you have to drop one of your characters, bring Shadowheart along, so the character, I guess the player that's not playing that character, plays Shadowheart for that section.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't spit the dummy.
You know what? Like, what... I really need, like, the multiplayer certainly wasn't considered.
No, it feels very tacked on. Yeah.
Because I think what would have been really cool is if, I don't know how you do this, but like, what would annoy me about this, right, is if I dropped my character out and I took Shadowheart. Shadowheart would be undergeared, underleveled for the area.
Yeah, you wouldn't know how to use her. It's already challenging fights as it is.
As it is. You would get all the XP on her
instead of your character instead.
Yep. And it's like, there's no, and so to have, I can either have story or I can have,
you know, progress, kind of thing. Correct progress.
And you can't not have the story bits. You've got to have all these disappointments because you can't like not, I don't know if you can not pick up Sharon to your party.
No.
Or not talk to them. I think
you
like,
can.
You can.
Shadowheart, you can ignore Shadowheart, but she will always follow you.
Because she's got to give you the artifact.
Yeah. Yeah. So she always appears. She just keeps appearing.
Yeah.
If you don't ever accept her into your party, she just keeps being unlike Astarion, who I never invited to my party, my single player game, and that's the end of him. He's gone.
He's gone. Yeah, I really feel the Mass Effect solution would have been better, where those characters just show
they're
up
actually with you the whole time.
Yeah, they're just like Squad B running some other op while you're running the main op. So that, and when you all finish and you get to the point that you can all meet up and everyone is there, but you've still got this party. I think that would have just been a really quote unquote, easy.
She could have just walked into the scene. She could easily have just walked into the scene.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you've made it here.
Oh my God.
Or whatever it is that she does. I don't even know what she does because we didn't have her in the party.
No, yeah, that's it. She could have just been rocking up as part of the B team, just keeping watch, making sure that the entrance doesn't get. Because, you know, we're running around this whole thing. No one's watching the door.
No, exactly.
Make sure we're not being stuck up on or anything, you know? So, like, you know, it would make sense that you would, generally speaking, go out with the whole party, even if.
Yeah.
You know, four of you are the ones that are actually the main doing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a super easy way to
keep the story going
and enjoy that part. I don't see why, because we decided to play four people, that we should have to sacrifice so much of the story.
Yeah.
It seems a bit odd.
Yeah, very odd. Well, they've obviously written a lot of story into the NPCs.
Yeah.
And we now don't see any of it.
No.
We got to see Gao spit the dummy. Now we've got to see Shadowheart spit the dummy. Technically, Lazelle also spat the dummy.
Yep.
When she attacked Shadowheart. Technically, she spat the dummy as well. She just got knifed in the throat by Shadowheart. The very next night.
It was a bit of a bummer end note to finish when you beat all that.
Yes.
You're through, and then you're suddenly like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And also, you free the Night Song, and she grows her angelic wings, and she flies off.
Yep.
And then we kind of think, well, now what are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be going and following her?
You got to go check the quest log to see that you've got to like
So many quests that I haven't updated in ages.
Yeah, yeah. It just basically says that she's flown off.
She's flown off and you've got to find out what she's
pretty
done.
Pretty much, you know. Okay. It's not even that direct or anything. But then also it looked like she'd been like removing the shadow.
Oh, yes, because you get a whole cutscene of her flying and there's a shadow and she's someone's holy light.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we come back upstairs and, oh, guess what? No, the shadow still damages you.
Still there. So dumb.
Really bad in multiplayer.
Yeah. Yep. Continues to be. And so like we're just trying to beeline it out of this area and get it either move
get
on.
Get it finished or, so we don't have to worry about this mess anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, and also there was a wonderful conversation. So we stabbed Balthazar in the back. So Balthazar was taunting Night Song and talking about killing her, I think he was, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Oh, no, wrapping her up and taking her to general form.
Yeah.
He was going to wrap, and we were going to help him wrap her up.
But instead, for some reason.
No, sorry, we're not going to do that.
No.
And he said, oh, do your hardest, see how you go.
Yep.
And then we actually beat him quite handily. I went to sleep a couple of times, but that's beside the point. And then Night Song then thanks us for our help and says, you get a weapon of your choice.
Yeah.
As a result. And no, you get a glaive stuck in the fighter's inventory.
Yep.
That's it.
That was it.
So that was super weird.
That was very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wrote that dialogue.
It's a very unsatisfying process too, because it popped up with a dialogue box. And then I was sort of trying to interact and look at it, and the cutscene started playing. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then come back and then...
exactly the same thing happened when we came back up and Shadowheart, when we went to camp, I think it was, we went back upstairs and Shadowheart spat the dummy at us.
Yeah.
That was all playing while my screen was still loading.
Oh.
So I couldn't see. I could hear the dialogue, but I didn't know what was going on. So, yes, they could have improved that stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm enjoying the mechanics of the game predominantly.
Yeah, for the most part, you know. Yeah. Yep.
But it's just, as we said last night, it does feel very much like Divinity 3.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, it's definitely more Divinity 3 than I would say Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to, obviously the story and setting is definitely all Baldur's Gate, but I'm not seeing a lot of connections back to the original games and the story yet, at least. You know, there's some references here and there.
Baldur's Gate, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know, right? You know, and...
We don't necessarily know that that's where we're trying to get to either, because we just woke up on a Nautilus ship and we're trying to get the worm out of our head, which is another one of these stupid...
time-based...
This is the thing that they do... D&D does really, really badly, is that, you've got to do this. This is urgent.
And
so if you actually do that, you miss all the content.
Yeah.
If you just barrel ahead and do this thing that there's this time urgency for, you miss all the content.
There's so many.
Yeah, don't do that. And it becomes clear quite early that the thing's not going to kill you because there's something weird about it.
Yeah.
But it's still in your head and you still then need to invest.
I think the absolute must be keeping it in check.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't have any other reason why anything else around that.
No, and there's too much vagary around the absolute and stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting to have these hooks, but you need to explain to the player why they're invested in that hook much earlier than this game has, in my opinion.
Yeah. Maybe with some conversation or some story, possibly, as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's possible. Yeah, because slaughtering everybody in the first town you get to.
Oops.
Yeah, well, we didn't slaughter them. They slaughtered themselves because we had a long rest, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But yeah, I'm enjoying the mechanics, and it's fun to play with the guys. But
it is. It's not, and there's some good interactions happening. And now that the assassin is actually an assassin and not an arcane trickster, it's made the combats significantly easier.
Much more DPS. Dino's cleric is way tanky.
Oh, in this undead area, undead heavy area. Yeah, it's 24 armor class.
Oh, yes.
So they were going miss.
It's crazy.
Which was nice.
Yep.
And now he can cast Sanctuary on me.
Keep you alive.
And then I don't have to worry about getting hit and losing concentration. Yeah. That was really good.
That was really good. Yep. Yep, I can get on the business of stabbing people in the pointy end.
We've got the party mechanic kind of thing worked out much better now.
Much better.
Well, you got more options as well.
More options, you know, that's it. Josh and I can go around poking things.
Yeah.
You know, what Dino kind of tanks or keeps people alive. You're right there buffing everyone up. You know, it's a good mix. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's Baldur's Gate.
Not much more. I mean, nothing mechanically wise, really.
We only had one play session since the last episode.
Yeah, we only had one play session. Yeah, it was a bit. And I would just ask for a more comprehensive journal so you can go back and actually refresh your memory as to what's actually been going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard. And then, like, yeah, I mean, we may have to make a choice to go through.
You can go to the Hellscape, it says, but have you tidied up all your
other quests.
Quests or something. But then you don't know which of the quests you've got in your quest log are the ones that are going to fail.
And like then it's four and I look through and I'm like, oh, I think I can see the four that completed, you know, like House in the Druids quest
eventually has
just
completed.
Close itself off, you know. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, it's not very, very wishy-washy about.
And you look at the map we've got of the Shadowlands and we've done about a third of it. That's all.
Yeah, I happened to luckily pick the thing that was going to progress to the main story.
Straight to the main story.
That was just a fluke.
Yeah, because we're really not enjoying the mechanic of it. That mechanic adds nothing to the game.
No.
They could have done it for that first bit and then given everybody a lantern. You go, okay, it's
that's
dangerous.
All I would ask is to give everyone a lantern and I got no problem with the mechanic. It's fine.
Yeah,
but like
to
not
give you one section where you see how bad it is.
And have to,
that's have to really stay together all the time. Yeah. And then one of you went, I'm taking damage. So I'd run off to try and help them. And then the other two of you would go, taking damage. Where have you gone?
Yeah, yeah. And in some areas, a torch works. In some areas, it doesn't work. It
doesn't work, yeah.
It's just dumb.
But the funniest bit of the whole night was when Dino found the rotten floorboards and was standing on them and hit them with his mace and fell straight through the floor. That was the funniest bit of the whole game.
That's great.
I thought that was hilarious.
That's great. That's great. I like my lockpicking. Clicking on the lock.
Yes, click, 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 click.
Until Josh comes and unlocks it. It doesn't take too long. I'm like, never mind. I get my sword out. Just smash the door. Lockpicked. Going through.
Technically, it's still locked. There's just no door there anymore.
Exactly. The primary function of it stopping me has been removed. Yeah. I stole a few chests as well. I had to like bring them down to him as well. It's like, you got this huge, massive chest, waddle along, drop it on the ground.
Here you go. I pick this.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, tell me more about Lamplighters League.
So I finished Lamplighters League and I immediately went back to start playing it again.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah. And I'm playing it on easy, so I feel more powerful.
Yeah.
Because I understand all the mechanics. I know what's going on. And
yeah.
And it's why'd you go back easy.
To easier?
Because I want to get the achievement for unlocking all 10 of the characters.
Oh, that's right. You just want to get it done.
And I was already I'd been doing it for a year, so I was already at week 52. And yeah. I still had two more companions to recruit.
Yeah.
And they just weren't coming up.
Yeah.
And the game was so hard that I would run one mission and then I'd get a doomsday clock would fill up. So I was only getting to run one every other mission, or sometimes even every other mission, because two of the doomsday clocks would fill up.
Oh, right.
So I was just wasting so much time doing the stopping the world destroying missions.
Yeah.
That I got sick of it. So I started again, and online it says play it on easy because then the doomsday clocks don't fill up so quickly.
Oh,
so you got more of a chance for the missions to pop up.
Yeah.
So firstly, I think that's a really bad design choice on the designer's part.
Absolutely.
Because the game very much depends on you knowing how to play the character.
Yeah.
So getting the new characters late in the game when it's already tough means you're never going to use them.
It's just like getting that glaive that I got for Undead and we're about to leave
the area. We're about to leave the Undead area.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not, but like it's still like, here we go, of course.
Yeah. So that's a silly decision by the game designers in my part. You're much better off getting unlocking all 10 characters and then you get to choose which of the 10 characters you want to play with, because they all play very mechanically very differently.
Yep. Yep.
The conversations are good. I've got a couple of new characters this time, so the conversations are now different. So I realized that there's the story of the game. Then in between each mission, you go to the headquarters.
Yep.
And the characters interact with each other in the headquarters. And because I've got new characters, there's all new stories coming out.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. It's really clever. It's really fun. I'm enjoying that. I'm paying a lot more attention to what the game's doing.
Yeah.
But the thing that I've really become to appreciate the second playthrough is how clever the maps are.
Ooh.
So the map that I stopped playing the game on last time, I got that map again.
Oh, yeah.
Much earlier. So the enemies are much easier to beat.
Yep.
I don't have as many skills. So I don't have as many options. But the map was still terrible and still nearly made me stop playing the game.
Right.
So that's actually a very badly designed map. What happens is there is absolutely no way to avoid getting 22 enemies all activating at the same time.
Oof.
There's absolutely no way to avoid it.
That's a lot of enemies.
And so, you can't. So the only way I survived was by, fortunately, I had the right characters that I could run backwards and they couldn't attack. They had to run forwards two actions to get to stay in range of me. So they couldn't do anything. And I had one of my characters going into Overwatch and he moved the furthest.
Yep.
So he could take one action to move back and then go into Overwatch. So I just slowly chipped away at them.
Mm.
And that's the only reason I won. So I was just about ready to quit again. So that one is a very badly designed map.
That's rough.
And I actually discovered that it's a map. It wasn't the way I was playing the game. But the maps are like four different quadrants of a map.
Yeah.
But the way those four quadrants interact can be changed.
Oh.
And I didn't pick that up necessarily the first time. But
now you're doing
so where you exit, the next time that map comes up, so maybe one of the three quadrants is blocked off and you can't get to it. So the map now immediately looks different. And you start where you exited from last time. So the map feels completely different, but it actually uses less programming.
Yeah, it's a bit
and
of
so you come in from the north face, or then you come in from the east face. So the maps are actually really clever, and I haven't actually run the same map twice.
Yeah.
So even though I'm using the same map tiles, I haven't run the same map configuration twice.
Yep. Okay.
So it's really good. It keeps it fresh.
Yep.
It's interesting, and the maps are tailored to the enemy that you're.
Yeah.
So there's the three enemies. One of them's water-based, one of them's Egyptology-based, and one of them's undead science, otherworldly based.
Oh, yeah.
And so the maps, and you find them on like the Egyptian guys, the sand and pyramids and stuff. So that it's quite good.
And it rewards knowing the map, even if it's different. Knowing the map and how it interacts still helps you in the future, even if it is a little bit fresh as well, which is nice.
Yeah. So off the missions. So it's good. And the new characters I've got play very differently from the characters I had last time, and I'm playing with one of the characters that I had last time that I didn't play with at all. Last game I'm playing with this time, so the game actually feels really fresh. I'm enjoying it. I'm not getting bored with it. I'm wanting to progress further.
It's
good. It's just a good game. It's clever. It's clever enough to be interesting. It's different enough to be interesting.
Yep.
They've chosen a really good time frame to do it in, like just the end of World War. It's in the 30s, I think. So. Yep. World War One ended a while ago, but stuff's still not really recovered economically. And yeah, it's good. I like it.
That's cool.
Fun. I'm enjoying the second playthrough.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that compared to Starfield, how I just stopped playing Starfield.
Yeah.
And then I got back into it again. Yeah. And I wanted to keep playing it, but I thought I'd just touch Lamplighter's League.
And just
finish Lamplighter's League and then immediately wanted to start playing it again.
Yeah, that's a big difference. Yeah, I haven't.
Oh, the ending. I didn't talk to you about the ending.
Oh,
the ending was very clever.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Yeah.
So. You get to take four. So you build the device that you need to build. You get the four door keys to the tower.
Yep.
And you go in. You can take four agents with you into the tower. Yep. So usually you can only take three agents with you.
Oh.
Occasionally on the special missions, you can take four agents. So I think nothing of it.
Yep.
I can take four agents with me because it's just a special mission. Going through the mission, I find the bad guy who had the least war readiness first. Yep. Rants about how it should be there, right? Really good story interaction with my characters that I've got. Kill them. They're finally dead. So during the game when you kill them, they escape rather than you killing them.
Nothing worse.
Yeah. Kill them. They're finally dead.
All right.
I can hear talking. There's the other Scion around. Oh. Find the other Scion. Oh, the third Scion is ranting and their voice can be heard across the whole map. Talking about what they're going to do, how they're going to take over, what's going to happen. So it's build up is really good.
Yeah.
Find the second Scion. That unlocks the guardians of the temple at the end of the world. So now you've got a new enemy that you're suddenly fighting, the new enemy that's also fighting the bad guys. So you've now got three factions fighting each other. So that's quite good. Then you get to this wall of energy. And so it's clearly a marker point in the mission.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to go through the wall of energy. And the quest locks up. Two heroes must survive. Suddenly pops up on my conditions of victory. Okay, what's going to happen here when I touch the wall? But no, they just walk through the wall. That's fine.
That's fine.
But then you find the third bad guy out of the three bad guys. You find the third one, the one who's been ranting the whole time. And they've got this invulnerable shield around them and you can't damage them.
Okay.
And so then the four of you argue about who's going to go and take the atropic device, which is what you've built to beat them, into the portal.
Yeah.
And I think, okay, so you're going to lose access to one of your heroes for how long it takes them to... And then they're going to come back because this is really tough. There's a lot of enemies again. Yeah. And you've got the invulnerable dude. Now, I was very lucky that one of my characters was completely immune to fire because I got the right equipment. And the bad guy that I had was the fire-based bad guy. So she could she was already a tank character.
Yeah.
And now she's immune to fire. So she doesn't take any damage from the guys he's summoning.
Yeah.
The damage the air effect he's doing. She just needs to survive all the bullet shot that she's getting shot. So I was really lucky. The other two, so the one guy goes off into the thing with a device. The other two died. You can die three times in a mission before you're dead.
Yeah.
The other two died twice.
Ooh.
It's a very spread out. So you've got the guys in the middle. So it's like a pyramid, but you can't get into the front door of the pyramid.
Yep.
So he's in the front of the pyramid, so my fire immune guy is keeping him busy. Then you got one thing you got to do on the left side. Then you got to do one thing you got to do on the right side. But of course, dudes are spawned on both sides.
Yeah.
So it's managing
everything at once.
All the enemies. So focused completely on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Left my invulnerable lady in the middle, which was lucky because then that attracted the guys on the right-hand side. The guys on the left-hand side could get the left-hand side done. Then I had to transition to the other side. That's when they died.
Through all the fire.
And then the guy that's in the portal, I was really thinking I wasn't going to finish it because I had no consumables left.
Yeah.
I had hardly any options left. All my once permission uses have been used. They're both on two deaths, so one more death and they're gone.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, but it's all right because the timer says one turn to go before the atropic device gets delivered.
Yeah, okay.
So the atropic device gets delivered and the guy goes, ah, clearly he's aware that he's not invulnerable anymore.
Okay, yep.
I killed him straight away in one turn.
Okay.
So he was gone in one turn. Nice.
Yep.
And then I just had to mop it up. And I'm thinking, I was thinking that the other guy's going to come through the portal again,
yep.
Full health. All
ready to go. Yep.
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
And then you leave, you kill the Scion and you leave the tower and then you get this nice little cutscene of the guy sacrificing himself
to go
to save you. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, I actually want to play the game 10 times to see each of the characters' sacrifice cutscene.
Oh, my God.
Which I'm not going to do, of course. I might look at it online. But
yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, that's good.
And
good.
That sacrificing is all related to the story that you get developed in the headquarters mission.
Yeah, nice.
So that's a really nice touch. It's a really, really satisfying ending to the game.
Does sound good. Does like a good final mission, you know?
Yeah.
All that, a lot of payoff. You can take out all those bad guys that have been pissing
and
me off.
And you fight all of the bad guys on the one mission at once. Yeah. But not all at once because you couldn't handle them all at once.
No.
So it's good. Really well done. They've done a great job.
Lamplighter's League, hey? Yeah,
Lamplighter's League.
Full tick.
Yes.
Excellent. I've been playing something else that requires jerry-rigging stuff, as mentioned at the start of the show. I brought some aluminium bars.
Inverted quotes, aluminium.
For a project with my chair and my mouse and stuff, and couldn't drill into them. What's going on? I asked my father-in-law, who's a aircraft engineer by trade, and he's like, oh, that's really strange. Why? That's really soft. It should now. Is it bright? Is it this? Is this? And I'm like, are you sure you put aluminium? I'm like, get the order up on AliExpress. This is what I bought. Looks at the phone, 2 seconds, you bought steel. You're trying to drill the steel with the steel.
You're trying to drill bits with drill bits.
Drill bits. Damn. Okay. Next time, read the instructions of what you're buying when you're buying stuff on AliExpress.
Yeah.
So the game I'll be playing is Tin Can, where you have to keep escape pod alive by swapping in and out different parts
as it's falling apart.
Effectively, yeah. You know, you got the asteroid field, it creates electrical short, it blows out some fuses, got to replace the fuses. And so it's a game of serene peacefulness.
Yes.
And then intense action when you need to fix things and fix things in a hurry, you know? So it's a, take a step back on like how you actually play this thing. It starts off with a 1 minute countdown. The station's about to explode. You've got five storerooms full of parts and you've got an escape pod, which has, various parts missing. Several parts drawers with all the parts you could possibly need, only variously filled. And every time you start the game, that start condition
is randomized. Yeah.
And so you have to sort of, well, I don't know. I don't know what the min-max perfect thing is, but when I'm playing these scenarios at the start, which is like survive for 6 minutes and then 10, 15, and I just beat the 20-minute one.
Wow. Okay.
Today, actually, before you came over. I failed twice on that one yesterday. I missed out by like 40 seconds.
Oh, no.
And so, like,
could you hold your breath for 40 seconds longer?
Oh, that's exactly what, well, or keep the beacon run. Because what it is, it's not surviving, it's keeping the beacon running for 20 minutes. Because you got to give your signal out, someone can find you. So you got to keep the beacon running for 20 minutes. So I survived for like 26 minutes, but I failed to keep the beacon running.
Right.
And so I didn't survive kind of things. So the one I did the right, I was like 21 and a half minutes was how long I survived for to actually get it out of the day. And I was very close to suffocating in that one as well because some parts blew that I didn't have replacements for.
Oh, no.
And so you got to find these parts, you throw them into the escape pod, you get inside, you press the button and you eject out and then the game starts.
Yeah.
And so the scenario, the 20-minute scenario, has this period where the main power source in the pod just stops producing power for a while. I'm not really sure exactly why it does that or if that's just part of the scenario, is that the pod fails for a little bit. Maybe I'll get, you know, these scenarios kind of add more
complexity.
Things into it. Yep. You know, the 20-minute one doesn't have the main computer and it doesn't have the recycler, but the next one I'm doing now has both of those components enabled to sort of like add that in. So when you first start off, it's very, the first 6-minute one is actually so easy that I broke and worked everything. It was just like I had to do one thing and it just like was it. But you're so panicky. So like in the pod when you get in there, you've got oxygen,
yeah,
CO2 scrubber,
yeah,
and a nitrogen one that's for pressure.
Okay.
You then have to the right, you've got the battery charger, you've got the oxygen recycler, fills the tank oxygen and scrubs out the CO2. And then you've got the recycler, the main computer, the air conditioner or the heater cooler,
yep,
emergency lights, main lights, and the beacon. Aforementioned beacon. Also, and so in the middle of the cabin, you've got the pile, the atomic pile that runs everything coming from the roof, and the gravity generator comes out of the bottom of the floor. So it's a very tight, when you have everything working, open, it's a space. Very tight, yeah, tight space, you know. And so, like, if the power goes out or your battery runs out for the gravity generator, you float around, you got to grab onto handholds, and you can use one hand to pull parts out and put parts in.
Yeah.
You know. So say take the oxygen generator, right? Oh, no, the CO2 generator's got more going on when you got to interact with a lot, right?
Okay.
On the front of the panel, you have an on-off switch, an emergency and a warning switches that will light up when there's a problem. You got to like reset them, you know, kind of like real old school, kind of like click buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
A CRT monitor, which shows you a readout, a gauge of what's going on. And then if you click up to the next screen, it's all the error codes. And then you have a manual, right, that you pick up and you flick to the manual page. And you've got to look at that and look at the codes and go, oh, that's a blown fuse, until you learn all the codes, which I haven't done yet, but I know a few of them now. And then so you open the drawer up, and inside there's a CO2 bottle to hold CO2 scrubbed out. There's a scrubber, like a filter, a transformer, a power connector, and a fuse, and the battery. Yeah. So you've got all these components in this thing that any of those ones can blow out and that you need to replace. And what I've learned is, like, if I press the power button and it goes on off, that's a fuse. Most likely the fuse is busted, place the fuse out. If I turn it on and nothing happens, it's likely to be the power connector or the transformer.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the tank running out, the battery running out is a little bit more obvious, got gauges on them.
Yeah.
The air filter goes from like white to black when it's sort of full of crap.
Yeah.
And you got to, like, you can take it out and replace it, or if you throw it on the ground, you can knock all the dirt out of it and then put it back in again.
Okay.
You know? And so they got those three drawers. They all have the same sort of thing. And then those similar components, you know, fuse, power transformer, and connector are in, like, the lights and the air conditioner. You know, they've all got those parts. But then the main atomic pile, the main, you know, power unit generator, has a high connector fuse and a high connector, you know, high capacity transformer and something slightly different for that drawer. You know, pumps to move air through. There's a few of those around in the different places. Yeah, so like the kind of, like, there's only like a maybe 20-25 components that go up into the whole ship, and some of them are very specialized. Some of them, like batteries. Everything's got a battery for the most part.
You can use the battery for everything.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and so it's sort of like, the power goes out in the 20-minute one. The power drops down for some reason. Just, I still don't know why. If there's a reason for it, like, there's no error codes or anything, but the power goes down. So you need to, like, go and turn off everything.
Yeah.
To sort of save power, not use up all your battery while you keep that beacon running, and then watch the gauge layout, which has like all the, like, a sort of like your digital gauges on the CRT monitor. If you turn them off, you got the physical manual gauges. Yeah. You watch those, and when the air breathability gets a bit low, it's like, oh, and turn on CO2 those.
Scrubber.
They go beep 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 as they, like, you know, realize that there's like no O2 in the air. There's too much CO2. Yeah. Wait for them to go down, then you're like, oh wait. Turn them off. Oh, the temperature's getting a bit. Turn that on a bit, and just sort of like
micromanage everything. Survivability.
And then as soon as the pile's back online again, you go put the batteries on to charge to get them charged up, so you can keep that timer running constantly. But when you put the batteries on to charge, it just sucks all the power out of the unit. You know, and so the pile, it's an atomic pile, which uses heat to generate electricity, but it takes a little bit of while to heat up. So you put the battery in, the drawer goes up, it starts heating up, but it never really ever gets to the top before it, you know, the next battery's full, you put the next one in. You know, and so it's a bit of like running around, because when you do that, everything else goes on battery power, starts drawing batteries. So you can kind of get in this cycle of, you know, recharging batteries,
but then the other battery.
Yeah, that's it. And then the CO2 bottles and the oxygen bottle need to be recharged. You swap them out, put them in there. You're doing that, and then all of a sudden, asteroid field, the lights go out. Shit, turn asteroid's the torch on. The torch has got like a limited charge on it before it needs to recharge. So you got to like get across, turn everything back on again. Oh, what's this error code? Oh, it's the fuse. oh, take the fuse out. Oh, no, the fuse is still live because you didn't turn the power off first. And now you're getting electrocuted. Oh, no. Press F, press F. And I got so close to the end of one of them and I electrocuted myself at the end.
Trying to take the fuse out.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't need to fix this. I could have just cruised off the end, but I thought I'd play with this and didn't think about turning the power off first.
Yeah.
And so you got like just enough componentry, just enough different things in the system to keep on like
making it interesting and stressful at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. But then everything's working, you're like,
well, now what do I do?
Oh, what do I do now? What do I do now? You start looking around, you know, maybe like you take all the bits and pieces off the ground and put them away in the drawers that you've thrown into the thing, you know. In the one I've just unlocked, had the main computer. And the main computer will translate the error codes for you and print messages, which is really nice. Yeah. But there's something wrong with the O2 generator. I don't know what it is. I don't know which component or what's broken because it's not – it's like the codes are there, but the display's all corrupted and stuff and the gauges are all weird. And I don't know which component
that's causing that to happen.
Is broken. Yeah. So I've got to like – after I died because I ran out of oxygen because the thing wasn't working properly. I need to go work out what component that is. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's not something I don't think I've ever played anything quite.
No, it sounds like it'd be an awesome multiplayer game.
It could be. Yeah. I think it is only single player, but you could certainly have a bigger version of this to sort of like, you know,
mayhem. People go,
It's not like it, but like, you know, Among Us where everything keeps breaking all the time. You got to fix everything on the ship kind of thing. There are all little mini games everywhere. It's sort of like that, except there's no mini games. And there's very much like, as I said, like when I worked out the fuses are blown because you test the power and then it goes off immediately.
Then you can short circuit that whole part of the game.
I'm like, oh, okay. I understand what that is now. And there's a few other things that I've forgotten now, but I'm like, oh, I know
what that is.
That's more likely to be this. I'm not sure if you look at the components, if they're broken, if it's visible that they're broken. I suspect there is some visual indicator as well, but it's often stressful when you're doing it as well. You don't really pay attention too much, or the lights are out because you're trying to save power, or they're broken and you don't have enough parts.
Yeah.
So you can sort of like the pressure system I haven't really needed to use, and it's not on by default. And so when I'm running out of parts, I pull that drawer open and I start cannibalizing parts out of that to use elsewhere to kind of get it online.
Which is probably the trap that they're setting you up.
Probably,
And so then you get to it, you rely on doing that, and they'll get to a mission later on where now you need to keep the pressure even.
Yes. Well, I suppose what will happen is the repair unit that I haven't really had any access to too much yet, you can use to either desynthesize parts for tokens and then craft new parts.
Oh, okay.
So you can take some of those broken bits for some amount of time, craft them back into parts that you actually need kind of thing. So there's probably a bit of min-maxing then about what parts you should grab from the storeroom to maximize, make it easier and stuff, you know. The only criticism I have about it is that the tutorial is funny because it's all about you going and repairing this pod and doing all the work because the main engineer is too busy fixing the main engine generator of the space station that you're on. It's like, oh, hey, janitor guy, can you just go in there and run these few tests? And they teach you how all the systems
work
and operate and things like that. And it's a good story because then as soon as like it starts, like main generator is broken because he's like, you know, he's always going to run off because the main generator keeps breaking again. Now it's finally broken. The station's exploding. You got to escape.
Yeah.
But when you first get into that first 6-minute scenario, there's no computer. And I spent ages rebuilding that computer and getting the parts for the computer so I could build it out so I'd have the error codes.
Yeah.
But the computer doesn't work even when you get it working, sort of thing. So I kind of like, I feel like tutorials would have been better intermixed maybe a little bit with the scenarios to kind of like give you a tutorial and then make you go use the thing because it took me a little bit of what, but I don't know. It's a minor thing. I just wasted a lot of runs.
Right. Fixing on things stuff that you didn't need to fix.
Didn't need to fix. They were never going to work because it wasn't, you know, obvious on that. Other than that though, so each scenario has introduced a new mechanic for you to think about. And I guess at some point you can get to the main game, which is just survive for as long as you can. Yeah. And some people, I think the record is like 3.5 hours on the leaderboard surviving. So
that's pretty good.
That's a lot. I don't know. What the strategy is for that. Like how you, because I guess what still gets me is the, like, you got a minute. Do I check the drawers to see what I'm missing and then go find those parts? Or do you just grab whatever you can kind of thing? Yeah, and it's sort of there's a scenario builder as well where you can just you can build out your own.
Yeah,
like oh, the ship will have these parts and these things will happen at these intervals, and you can build out, you know, your own.
That gameplay loop really works. I used to play a game on the Commodore 64.
Called
Sci-Fi Trading Company.
Oh yeah,
and you chose a cargo. So I think there were like 5 difficulty levels, and you chose your cargo.
Yeah.
So that had inherent difficulty levels. Obviously, the dry cargo doesn't need anything but storage space.
Yep.
And then you would get cargo that deteriorated over time.
Okay, yep.
That obviously needs, now you've got a time limit.
Yeah.
And then went all the way up to refrigerated cargo that you needed to refrigerate or would instantly get ruined and stuff like that.
Yep.
So you choose your cargo, then you've got 6 crew positions. And each crew position had 6 crew members you could choose. So you choose your 6 crew members, your 6 crew positions. And then then the cargo also has a destination, which could be closer or further away.
Yeah.
So, and that's how they did the difficulty. And then basically you're off.
Yeah.
And you're in your ship and you got to go and deliver the cargo. And space pirates come and you get hit by asteroids.
Yep.
And it was really excellent game. So I would play. That I'd charge up my emergency battery. The first thing I would do is charge up my emergency battery to full.
Yep.
So then as soon as my power went out, I could just turn on my emergency battery and keep going.
Yeah.
And I would always, my tactic was I would always sacrifice the gunner. I would get the crap because you couldn't afford the 6 best crew members, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
You had to balance your crew members.
Yep.
Your crew members had morale, stress reactions, skill levels. So I think there were 4 or 5 stats that crew members had.
Yep.
And so you could get a guy that had like C, 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 C across the board.
Yep.
And he wouldn't panic under stress.
Yep.
But he also had no initiative, so he wouldn't fix stuff by himself. And he'd pretty much mostly do what you told him to do.
Yeah.
But then you could get the guy who had amazing initiative and was really good at his job, but he had terrible stress levels. So as soon as stuff started going wrong, he'd panic and stop doing his job properly. Yeah. So that was really cool, balancing which crew members you had. So I would sacrifice my gunner to get the best repair guy that I could get.
Yeah.
And then the repair guy could repair stuff around the ship. And I would just fly. I just wouldn't stop flying. I'd just keep flying even when the pirates were attacking, which makes it harder for the gunner to hit.
Yep.
So basically I was ignoring the pirates. So I was just trying to keep my ship alive and fly through the damage.
Repair.
But it had the same kind of gameplay loop.
Yeah.
You could experiment with different cargoes. You could experiment with different crew members. So if you didn't have the refrigerator cargo, you could pretty much basically ignore the cargo refrigerator. When that got broken, you could just pretty much ignore it because you didn't need your refrigerated cargo anyway. You
know, yeah.
So then it was learning which bits of the ship you need to repair, which bits were the important bits. It was a really good game, a really good gameplay loop.
That's cool. Yeah, because I think it also reminds me a bit of FTL.
As
well, sort of thing. I mean, this is a first person.
Yeah, very, know, experience, very different game.
You know, different and stuff. But like that idea of like making do with what you've got to keep the thing going.
Balancing all your resources to keep things going.
Yeah. With the 20-minute scenario, what I realized, the most important thing to grab from the storeroom was batteries. And if I had a whole bunch of batteries, when the power was up, I could just quickly charge them all up and just keep that beacon ticking,
going.
always going during all the downtime. Turn everything off, micromanage my environment, only run emergency lights, you know, don't use gravity, you know, which is annoying because, you know, whatever.
It's harder to navigate through the pod.
Yeah. Yep. But I was able to then just, you know, edge out a victory out of it. Yeah. It was, it's fun when you sort of work out what's going on.
Yes, it's very rewarding.
Yeah. Like,
when you actually work out how to do this and you've, because of your skill level and your ingenuity, you've beaten the level.
Yeah. Like going, okay, this is a great moment now. The tanks, my secondary set of tanks are full or empty, you know, full for oxygen, empty for carbon dioxide.
Yep.
I will change them now and put that recycler on so that, you know, if power goes out or something in between, you know, like they'll have new ones charging rather than waiting for them to get,
because
what I was doing, letting them get down and then changing them. But it's like, no, this you should always change
wrong.
It. Yeah, yeah. You should always change it as soon as they're full and you've got a moment.
Yeah. Change it.
Change them out every time kind of thing. Other thing I didn't mention was, I mentioned the codes and the instructions.
Yeah.
So it's a full instruction manual, like a clipboard binder. You got to hide it up and flick through the pages to read about all the systems in there. There's also a fire extinguisher because occasionally there's fires. And if you're in 0G, which is usually the case, you do the fire extinguisher, you just get pushed back as well. So you got to like hold on, line it up, and then extinguish the fire.
Yeah.
As well as there's a sealer as well, in case you get debris coming through it and you've got to seal a hole.
Yep.
And so the one that I won on, I didn't have a fire or a hole or anything like that. It was a fairly
safe run.
I definitely was running out of parts because there was a power outage and a few fuses blew and I didn't have a lot of fuses to deal with kind of thing. So I just eked out, you know, the victory still. But like I wasn't as bad as what it could have been when
things are getting on fire. It's a surprisingly rewarding gameplay about that stress. I'm going to completely stress you out as a player.
Yes.
But it's surprisingly rewarding.
Yeah.
Those games are surprisingly rewarding when you achieve the victory.
Yeah. And it's a pretty low bar to start again. And like with a 20-minute... even the most thing, 30-minute loop.
It respects your time, your personal time as a player.
Yeah.
By not making it survive for 9 hours.
Oh, yeah, no.
So now I've got to play. Like Gran Turismo had the 24-hour endurance race.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually 24 hours, but it was something like 3 hours of real time.
No. And you can pause it and stuff. It doesn't like, there's no like punishment for just hitting escape and just, you see, you stop the game many times. That's also really nice too. As well. Yeah, really, I guess it was just a Humble Bundle find.
Yeah, it's an indie developer.
Indie game, you know, unlike that blacksmithing game I played, this one feels much more polished and it's a lot, you know, it's relatively easy. But the blacksmithing game, I think with like a 3D environment, I always find the most challenging part with indie games is the movement and the picking up and interacting things doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
This feels really good. They've got a really good system where if you pick something up, you got it in your hand, you got two hands, obviously, unless you're holding on to something because there's no gravity. So you put one, you left click, right click to hold things in each hand, and then you press left click, right click to put that item in.
Yeah.
But if the item only goes in one spot, it'll just do it. So if you do it wrong, it won't like try to put the battery in the fuse. It'll just put the fuse in you know? And they're all like highlighted, so you highlight over the right shadow and you connect it. There's no like
finicky
fiddly in or anything. No, it's just like as long as you're in range and it highlights, you can just slap it in or pull it out, you know, really easily. No fussing about that, which is really nice. So it feels when you're in a rush,
that's what you want.
The game's not sort of fighting you, you know, punishing you for that. The only one I find really frustrating is trying to get a handhold,
right?
Kind of thing. Once you have a handhold, you actually get amazing maneuverability. Like you can just go up, down, left, right, wherever you need to be. Like as long as you got one hand holding that right click button down and got a hand on, you're good to go. And you can make it mostly around the cabin.
Yeah.
I don't think you can't kind of get from the oxygen to the heater, which is on the other side.
Yeah.
So that can be a bit
problematic,
but you just got to refine your hold and stuff. But yeah, like it feels punishing and rewarding, you know, and just the right amount where it's not, you know, of them. Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to beat all scenarios and I'll give it a crack at the thing. I don't know how long they last for long as you can.
Yeah, on the leaderboard.
We'll keep my interest, but like I'm certainly keen to get to that point of feeling confident.
Enough to give it a try.
Yeah. Also saw they've got two layouts as well. They've got like the pod.
Yeah.
Then there's like a station. It's the exact same stuff, but it's got like a cross thing. It's a bit more like you've got to walk a little bit further to all the things, and it sounds like that. I think that'd be more challenging but easier in some ways kind of thing, because it's a bit more like I feel like even in that tiny little space, I keep getting confused where everything is because it's like this you circle.
It all looks the same.
There's no, there's no, like, I guess with the cross, you kind of like
you got
reference points and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I'm about to give it a go as well. But that's Tin Can.
Interesting.
Yeah. See what else I want to see. What else the developers have made as well. If this is their first thing, or maybe they've got something else that would be cool as well. Anyway, so next week will be more Baldur's Gate.
Yes.
More probably Tin Can. I did play a little bit of Chaos Bane, but nothing more than
nothing to really comment
talk about or anything. No, just still working through that. What are you playing? You're playing a Unicorn game or something, aren't you?
A Unicorn Overlord. No, I've played the demo. I've actually just purchased the full game.
Oh, yep.
So
okay.
I will play some of that and progress further in Unicorn Overlord.
Excellent. Excellent. And
more Lamplighters League too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
See if I can get the 10 companions unlocked.
Yeah. Critically, no Starfield though.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe. I haven't given up on Starfield.
No?
It's not gone in the bin.
Okay.
But it's not making me desperately want to play and finish it.
No, I don't want to start again. That's the problem. But I don't want to go back to my previous save and use that one either.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's a bit of a catch-22 at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The expansion pack, whatever it is going to come out at some time.
Yeah. See what the reception is on that.
Yeah.
We need to get Cyberpunk.
Yes, we do. Oh, I was thinking the same thing.
Back Phantom in Liberty. Yeah, Phantom Liberty as well. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah
that
as well.
Into our
discuss that offline we as will. Well. But until next time, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.